Father, as always, I thank you because the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We need, especially now, we need this kind of light and understanding in our hearts. So let it be this morning through the revelation knowledge from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So we will be continuing on our series on the seven pillars of wisdom. We've done the fear of the Lord. We've done prudence. We've done knowledge. I'm going to do counsel. I'm going to do counsel today. And some of you have heard this lesson before, but I tell you, every time you hear it, it's like drawing waters out of the wells of salvation. Something new is going to be revealed into your heart this morning. So you stay right here with us and welcome everyone into the room. Counsel is a pillar of wisdom. Hallelujah. You know, so, and then don't forget our acronym for the seven pillars to help us remember. We have KUPDCSF, K for knowledge, U for understanding, P for prudence, D for discretion, C for counsel, S for sound judgment, and F for the fear of the Lord. We're not going through the lessons in that order, but I just gave that acronym like that. So again, our theme for this series of teachings is taken from Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 1. It says, wisdom, you know, has built her house and hewn out her seven pillars. Then we go to Proverbs chapter 8, verses 12 and 14. We see some of those pillars. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, etc. And we go to Proverbs 24. We see some amazing things about what wisdom can do, what understanding does, and what knowledge does in putting the house together. And we talked about the pillars in a house, that they are load-bearing columns that hold up the structure of the house. And when we see cracks in the house, sometimes we know that that can be traced to some kind of defect in the pillars. So the cracks that may have been, that may be in our lives right now or may have been there, could probably be due to the weakness or the lack of these pillars in our lives. So when we need to fix these pillars. We need to fix these cracks in the pillars. These cracks may lead to all kinds of disappointments, failures, delays, regrets, sickness, lack of advancement, severe losses, job, wealth, broken marriages, etc. because of lack of these pillars in our lives. So it is very important at this time. And when you put all the pillars together, if you're able to, you know, garnish and harness all of these pillars, it's what we call strength. These pillars give strength to the house that wisdom builds. Hallelujah. So today, counsel. Let's get right to it. That was just a quick summary. So counsel, we see here, is a pillar of wisdom. You'll find that in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 14. Right away, we see that counsel is listed as one of the pillars of wisdom. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to take it slow, but at the same time, I got to go quickly. Counsel is mine, and I have sound judgment. You know, so we see that there. Some of the scriptures that I will give, I will stop to read them. Some I may not stop to read because I've got a lot to say on this counsel. But some of these pillars like prudence, like understanding and counsel, they all seem to overlap and they seem to be at the core of wisdom. So there's always a whole lot to say when you are, you know, dealing on this subject, but we trust that the Lord will help and we do the best we can with it. All right, so we see that wisdom right away lays claim on counsel right there. So counsel is mine. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20. And we'll just give a few scriptures, and afterwards I'm going to go more rapidly through this set of scriptures because there's a whole lot. Proverbs 19 and verse 20 says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end." So see again how counsel is tied in with wisdom. And like I said, they are kind of all interconnected. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 18. Let's take a look at that one as well. Everywhere that we talk about counsel, or the scripture talks about counsel, you might also find that, you know, it related to advice or related to wisdom. I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice, make your war. Well, I will be talking about that very important concept in a little bit. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice, make thy war. So I'm going to talk about that. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 6. Proverbs 24 and verse 6. "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and the multitude of counselors there is safety." So I just read some few verses where counsel is mentioned directly, you know, in the Bible. But here are some more things that we actually want to say on this subject about counsel. Let me give some definitions. Throughout these lessons, I give some definitions crafted from a combination of dictionary and what the Holy Spirit gave me, and some other things that I know. Just put it all together and come up with some definitions. Here is a series of definitions for counsel. Number one, it is the ability to give good advice, guidance, instruction, or direction to navigate difficult situations or how to prepare for the future. Wow. Let that sink in for a bit. Here's another one. Counsel can be thought of as advice or opinion or instruction given in directing the judgment or the conduct or action of another. That's the one that I put together. When a person speaks with wisdom concerning a matter or situation, it can be called counsel. You know, so when it is spoken, it becomes counsel. And wisdom, when you are using wisdom in a situation and you speak it, it might be called counsel. Now, here's another one. Counsel is something that provides direction or advice as to a decision or the course of action to take. Here's yet another one. You can see I'm going slowly through it in case anybody's taking notes. Counsel is advice that is given especially as a result of consultation. That's also called counsel. In the secular world, here's another one. Counselors are often referred to as consultants. People in the legal field sometimes may be called, you know, when they are, you know, trying to defend their or representing their clients. They can also be called counsel. The attorney, sometimes they're called that. Listen to this. The capacity to exhibit good counsel. Now I'm getting into the meat of this thing now. I've given some definitions, so let's really get into it. The capacity to execute good counsel does not always come due to age or position in life. Age is good. We're learning some experience, but good counsel comes from the Lord. Let's read Job chapter 32. We're going to look at verses 4 through 8. Now, the three friends of Job were with him during his time of loss. And Elihu, or Elihu, whoever way you want to call it, I call it Elihu. He was a young man among them. And so, you know, he waited till the elders had spoken. And he didn't really like what they said, so he decided that he was going to speak. Job 32 and verse 4. Now, Elihu had waited till Job was spoken because they were elder than he. So all of them were older, so he kind of waited for them to speak. And when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these wise men, these three men, or actually what came out of their mouth wasn't, you know, good enough for him, then his wrath was kindled. And so Elihu said, I am young and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and does not show my opinion. I said, days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. Well, so he gave respect, which is good. But he said, look, that's not how it works. But there is a spirit in man, whether young or old. And the inspiration of the Almighty is what gives them understanding. This is where one of my favorite verses comes from. The spirit that's inside of you, the inspiration that God puts in there is understanding. And that's how counsel. Let me say right away that the counsel that I'm presenting here today, or the lessons around counsel today that I'm presenting, it's not just about you giving counsel to somebody else. It's actually more so about counsel in you for yourself. You know, and that's something that most people don't think about. When we talk of counsel, we're thinking that, counselor, you know, you're talking to somebody else, you're giving advice to somebody else. But I'm going to be talking about, well, yes, give advice, receive advice, all of that is counsel. But I'm going to talk about counsel in the heart of a man, you know, that can guide your affairs. We're going to talk about that as well. So we're going to cover it every which way. It's not just about, you know, advice to others. It's, you know, how to give guardrails, you know, to your own life as well. Counsel is at the very core of all of these pillars of wisdom. A person who has a spirit of counsel, they will exhibit all these pillars that we've been talking about. Remember, wisdom said, counsel is mine. And counsel comes from the Lord, as we already read. Let's also read Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5. Counsel is from the Lord. It's not just something that, you know, it's not just something that it's just there. Listen to this verse, very pivotal verse in Proverbs 20 and verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man. This is what I'm talking about. It's like deep water. But a man of understanding will draw it out. Well, it's deep down there. You're going to have to draw it out. And the Lord is the one that put that counsel there. And if you know how to draw it out, it will keep you in your ways, not just for you to advise somebody else, but for you yourself. It also help you in advising others. I'll come to that in a bit. You know, so counsel is very key. You know, so let's note that it's not just for the benefit of others. You know, we need this in our own heart. It's a counsel is in your heart. If you have understanding, you draw it out. So it's not just for somebody else. It's similar to what the Bible says in Isaiah 12 and 3. It talks about, you know, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Well, in similar way, the wells of counsel are deep, are placed deep inside the heart of man by the Lord, but can only be drawn out by the inspiration of the Almighty. We already covered that in Job 32 verse 8. Let me say that again. You know, just like Isaiah 12:3 says, you draw waters out of the well of salvation. Well, you have to draw counsel out of your heart. They are deep down in there and can only be drawn out by the inspiration of the Almighty. Now, this counsel is also a skill, you know, and it's invaluable in our lives, whether it's personal life, family, business, marketplace, government, etc. It's very powerful, as we're going to see some examples here in a minute. A person who possesses this skill and uses it well, you know, when you possess this skill and you use it well in offering guidance and direction, when you have a forward-looking strategic solutions, yeah, you become invaluable in the industry. You'll be retained even when others are let go. Let me say that again, because this is so key. What companies are looking for today is not just, you know, somebody who is, who has the ability to do something in the moment. They're looking for strategy. You know, people who are promoted to great positions of leadership, executive leadership, it's because they have strategic plans for the company. You know, it's not just, the regular worker, they're just told what to do. They do this, do that, and they do it. But when a visionary comes and they have strategic plans and they are able to give good advice of which direction people should go, the company and so forth, you know, it leads to tremendous opportunities. You know, I'm going to come to that in a minute. I want to give you some examples. Let's run through counsel in the scripture for some examples. Now, counsel doesn't also come by just because, I'm a pastor, or I'm an apostle or prophet, or this or that. You know, that doesn't necessarily, you can be a pastor all your life, and you may still not have good counsel, may not have wisdom, you may just be doing foolish things. You know, or be a prophet, you know, has nothing to do with that. These are different things that we have to learn and cultivate. A good example is in Exodus chapter 18 from verses 13 to 26. I'm not going to read it. I'll just paraphrase it. But that's Exodus 18 verses 13 to 26. Now, Jethro was father-in-law to Moses. And he gave him good counsel. We don't even know that this Jethro man was a believer. You know, for all we know, you know, he might have been an unbeliever at the time. But he looked at this great man of God. And he knew, he had heard great things that the Lord did by the hands of Moses and so on. Moses' wife was his daughter. You know, so when he looked at the way Moses was doing things. Now, Moses was a great man of God. Tremendous power. He had done, he was a trailblazer. We covered that before, you know, done things which nobody has ever done. Called things out of nothing. Called lice, frog, you know, locust, everything. Bring dust up. All kinds of plagues in Egypt. Even the parting of the Red Sea. I mean, amazing stuff. But here, he's sitting with hundreds of thousands of people. Some people say 1 million or 2 million. And then he's sitting down all day long. He's their prophet. He's their priest. He's their counselor. He's their judge. He's their administrator. He's everything. So Jethro comes to him and says, look, I know you're a man of God and all, but you're going to wear yourself out, even kill yourself. You're going to kill yourself. And you're going to wear all these people out. You can't do this. You alone among so many. He said, look, let me give you counsel. And if it seemed good to the Lord, you, because he knew he was a man of God, said, check it out. You know, the Lord tells you so fine, but here's my counsel. I'm going to give it to you. Here's what you need to do. Otherwise, you'll kill yourself where all these people are all day long. You can't do it by yourself. Divide the people into such and such and so forth. Appoint counselors over thousands, hundreds, fifties, etc. And let the counselors, you know, handle the little matters and so forth. And then the matters that they cannot handle or resolve, they bring those to you. Or even matters that deal with doctrine, they can come with you to you. But, you know, all the other stuff, you know, hand them off. Man, that was powerful, powerful counsel. came to a mighty prophet. So you see that, you know, counsel is not the workings of, you know, a mighty prophet, an apostle, you know, all those kinds of other charismatic gifts. No, completely different. This man didn't have it, yet he had all that power. And he took his father-in-law, who was even nothing close to that, to give him counsel. All right, so let's understand that. When you have great power, ministry, miracles, and so forth, that has nothing to do with counsel. You can still be making very poor decisions. You know, we see that great ministers, see many in contemporary life, many great ministers have lost their families. They didn't have counsel, you know, and they are ministering, healing the sick, doing all kinds of things all day long, yet their home is broken up because they did not have wise counsel. Now, there was a man in the Bible called Ahithophel. 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 23. Ahithophel. He was in those days called a counselor. I was a counselor at one time to David, and then at the other time, you know, when the camps shifted, was on the other side. You might have known the story of how God had to defeat his counsel, but let's leave that alone. In his days, when this man gave counsel, the Bible said he was like an angel of God. Now that means, some people say you can take it to the bank. Well, that means you can take this one to the gates of heaven when this man gave you counsel. I mean, his counsel was like, wow, right there. So as if an angel spoke. I mean, he had it together, you know, and he was point blank, perfect, razor sharp. And he was a great counselor. You know, of course, you know, something happened at the end. He did give counsel that could have defeated David, but the Lord frustrated his counsel. But that's beside the point in this case. He was a great counselor. And David, you know, he was one of David's counselors at the time. We'll talk later on how you need to surround yourself with those kinds of people. All right. So we've seen Ahithophel. You know, let's take a look at, you know, others that we may see here in the scriptures. Joseph. Now, many of us know the story of Joseph, but the one that I want to read and refer to today is the story when he was in the prison with the butler and baker of Pharaoh, and he interpreted their dreams on one day. And that it came to pass as he said it. The butler was restored. The baker was hung. He asked the butler to speak of him. That one forgot him for 2 years. Eventually, Pharaoh had a dream, which none of these soothsayers, astrologers, magicians, Chaldeans, all of them, none of them could figure it out. And then this man, butler, went, oh my goodness, I remember my fault this day. There was a young man with us in prison when Pharaoh had cast us into prison. And we, myself and the baker, we had a dream one night. And this man came and interpreted it. And it happened to us just like he interpreted me. He restored the other one. He had. You know, let Pharaoh now call this man and he will show him the dream, the interpretation and so forth. So they called Joseph. You know the story, but here's what I want to bring out. Everyone had always thought that it was the gift of interpretation, you know, that made Joseph to be great. Well, his gift made way for him to stand before the king. You know, the Bible says your gift will make way for you to stand before the king. But it wasn't his gift that caused him to be promoted to second in command over the whole land. It was the counsel that he gave. He could have interpreted the dream, and maybe the king would have just given him some small gift here and there. Thank you for interpreting the dream. But everybody would still have perished because they wouldn't have counsel. But this man not only interpreted the dream, he gave counsel. And here's what he said, you know, let's read it from verse 32. He said, because the reason the dream was doubled to Pharaoh twice is because the thing was established and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, you know, here's his counsel now. He's interpreted the dream, done with interpretation. He's now going to give counsel. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man that is discreet and wise. See, their discretion is brought in there as well. And set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up 20%. That's a fifth. It's a 20% of the land of Egypt in those seven plenteous years. Let me stop there and digress for a minute. Throw another punchline here. If you don't know how to save, learn it from this verse here. Put away 20% in the years of plenty, because you're going to need it. The rainy day, as people say, is coming. So Joseph gave them wisdom here. When the land is producing abundance, when you are doing very well and God is blessing you and you have increase on your job, your business, you know, bonuses, you know, raises, etc., put away 20%. It's right here. You know, don't go and spend it all on a shopping spree. We covered that before when we did prudence. Let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay the corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep in the cities and store up the food against the 7 years of famine that's coming, and so on and so forth. And, you know, the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said, well, where can we find a man? Now, listen to this thing that Pharaoh said. Now, this is another, well, sort of a punchline, but I said it already, that counsel comes from the Lord. This is what Pharaoh said. Pharaoh was not a believer, you know. But here's what he said. Can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? So they themselves realized that this kind of deep counsel can only come from the Spirit of God. It wasn't the interpretation. I mean, it's the Chaldeans, the astrologers, the magicians, and so forth. Sometimes they can give interpretation. And they didn't have the Spirit of God. But this man had something different. The Spirit of God that was upon him, Pharaoh even recognized it. He said, look, you know, there's no one else that we can find like this. Therefore, I say to you, Joseph, I'm going to set you over the land of Egypt. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. From the slammer, from the prison in one day, to second in command over the land by counsel. Hallelujah. Counsel. I mean, if he didn't give that kind of counsel, maybe at best, he would have been promoted to become one of the soothsayers, one of the Chaldeans or magicians or all those people that were around Pharaoh. But no, Pharaoh saw something in him. He said, look, this Spirit of God that's in you that can bring out this great counsel, where can we find somebody else? So he put him right over the land. And he put his ring on his finger, you know, arrayed him with vestures of fine linen. Say, look, get him out of all those prison clothes. Hallelujah. Put a gold chain around his head. Gave him, you know, to ride in his second chariot. And he said, everybody, bow the knee. Glory to God. You know, to Egypt. And he made him ruler over all the land. And he said to Joseph, I love this part. It's kind of when the Lord says something, say, I am the Lord. And he puts his signature right on it. Pharaoh put his signature and said, I am Pharaoh. That's right. And without thee shall no man lift up his finger or foot or hand or anything in the land of Egypt. And I was thinking, you know, one day when I was reading, I said, ah, where was Potiphar and his conniving wife that framed Joseph for something he didn't do, called him a rapist, accused him of being a rapist and everything, or would be a rapist, and then got him sent to jail. Where were they now? See? They now had to bow the knee to Joseph, because Pharaoh said, everybody bow the knee to Joseph. And it was great counsel that made him to be promoted to such a position. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. Now, counselors, advisors, and so forth, they are usually at the back of great leaders and many successful people. And these people are sought out. They are indispensable. You know, when they, you know, I mean, you find somebody that's like that, they're going to keep them around. They're going to get promotion. They may leave, they may lay others off, you know, but not somebody of great counsel that has strategic, you know, that can give advice, that can, knows how to do this. They have problem solving skills. Comes from counsel. Now, I'm going to talk about problem solving skills in a minute. But let's look at Daniel as well. Daniel's fame for interpreting hard sentences, of course, you all know that. Solving doubts and all that. Dissolving of doubts went before him. But let's look at three instances of, you know, some stuff that happened to Daniel. In Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 to 24, you know, he dealt with Nebuchadnezzar. They are trying to kill everybody for not remembering his dream and so on. You know, and in that place, Daniel, you know, said, well, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he gave, you know, he gave credit to the Lord for giving him understanding, you know, and so forth. But here's what I want to bring up. And, you know, he brought out the interpretation of the dream. You know, so in this place, Daniel used interpretation, I mean, his gift of interpretation, you know, to use, I mean, to, you know, to interpret the man's dream, Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And he told him all kinds of things, and even he even brought out, you know, prophetic significance of what God is going to do down through the ages, how God is going to smash all the, you know, kingdoms of this world and establish his own kingdom. Now, he did that, you know, through his gift of interpretation and understanding. Now, but let's look at how Daniel progressed. How did he progress? In this particular story, Daniel had to pray. He went to ask for time to go and pray. God is, God, his friends, they had to go and pray, seek the Lord, and so on. You know, and then the Lord revealed it to them. Let's look at Daniel chapter 4. And verse 27, in this place, you know, the Daniel is coming now and giving counsel. You know, he has given, used this gift before, but now he's using counsel. He's saying, look, I'm going to give you counsel now. But unfortunately, you know, the king did not take it. You know, he was going to be punished for the pride of his heart. This was Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel said to him, look, I counsel you this day. Let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by righteousness, your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. It may be God will lengthen your tranquility. Now, had this man listened to the counsel of Daniel, maybe all those things would not have come upon him, but he did not listen. Boastful, proudful, and all that. And you saw the things that happened to him. At the end, he finally came back and did exactly what, you know, Daniel was counseling him. He walked in humility, you know, and so forth, and he gave glory to God. Now, you know, so you can see how Daniel is progressing with his gift and now moving to counsel. Now, let's look at Daniel chapter 5. Verses 11 to 12. But I'll bring out something else here, you know, after I read this one. In this place, it was Nebuchadnezzar's son, you know, that Daniel had to deal with. And it was even, you know, the queen mother that told the young ruler that, look, in the days of your father, there was a man in his kingdom. You know, the spirit of the Holy Ghost is in him, you know. He had light and understanding and wisdom, and he could, you know, he just do things. So, you know, that was an excellent spirit, she said. And knowledge and understanding, interpretation of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts. You know, he said, call this man and he will show you the interpretation. You know, this was the handwriting on the wall. And when Daniel was brought in, you know, Daniel, he interpreted the thing and told it to the man. You know, but the thing I want to bring out here is the progression in how Daniel developed this gift of interpretation and how he combined it with counsel. Remember, I told us the other day that you must develop your talent into a skill. You must develop your skill into competence, develop that competence into expertise, and finally develop that expertise to becoming an authority. Well, whereas at the beginning he had to go and spend a whole lot of time to pray, and of course that was a very hard one, you know, because he also had to tell the dream. Right now he can stand on the spot because he has developed that talent. He can stand on the spot and give the interpretation point blank right there. He didn't need time to go and pray and so on. You know, he can just stand there. You know, he might think about it for a while because he's looking for the right words of how to say it to the king. And he might say something like, well, you know, let this thing be to your enemies and not to you. But he got it, you know, he got the word right there because he spent time. He had developed that gift. He doesn't need you to go away for a night to go and pray in order to bring it forth. He had it right there and then, because after developing the gift, he was able to immediately respond. Now, Solomon was a man that was sought out from all over the world because of his wisdom, or what you might call counsel. You know, Solomon increased in riches from all the gifts and the presents that people gave him. Well, let's read a couple of places. 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 to maybe 34 or something like that. 1 Kings chapter 4. And let's take a look at, you know, verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the sea. Can you imagine that? And Solomon excelled in wisdom over all the wisdom of the children of the east country. Now, those people were sharp. They had the magi. They had all these things and so forth. They excelled in all the Egypt of... wisdom of Egypt. They are the Chaldeans. They are all these things, the soothsayers. He was wiser than all the men. And they had some really great men in those days that were really great men. Some of them were noted here. They were noted in the East and everywhere in all nations. You know, Ethan, the Ezraite, you know, and Haman and, you know, Karkol and Dada and all these Maha. They were great, great men, renowned men of wisdom in those days. But Daniel, this Solomon, he had wisdom beyond them. But most of the time, the wisdom exhibited even as counsel. You know, and here I wrote all kinds of proverbs. We're told here he wrote 3,000 proverbs. Well, these proverbs that we are reading today, most of them came from Solomon. You know, and he wrote them. He also wrote the Ecclesiastes and so forth. And it was deep counsel, you know, because when you are writing wisdom or speaking it, that's counsel. You know, when you are using it in an action, well, then maybe it's prudence. And so, you know, so these things, you know, they interconnect. But all the things that he wrote, and see how even from all over the world, he was sought out. 1 Kings chapter 10. And people were even giving him gifts and everything. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. And even Jesus talked about Solomon. Right? He said, you know, the Queen of Sheba came from all the othermost parts of the earth, you know, to hear Solomon's wisdom. He said, well, greater than Solomon is here. Listen to this. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Remember, God had put it there. This wisdom was actually counsel. God, they will come to him and he will give them advice. How to solve even some of their international diplomacy and situations. The kings, you know, what do you think kings are looking for? You know, kings are not looking for other riches, you know, and so forth. You know, they all have their own kingdoms. All they need was advice. And they brought in presents. you know, they brought him silver, vessels of silver, vessels of gold, and all those things, you know, and this man gathered wealth. It was mostly his wisdom that he used in the area of counsel. Hallelujah. That made him to be, you know, so exceedingly great that people sought him out. He was a counselor, you know, that people sought out. He was also a consultant. People consulted him. They sought him out. Hallelujah. Now, let's look quickly at the promise that God gives to the church. The church. The church is supposed to be a lighthouse that's exalted above the hills, you know, that people will actually look to, you know, for this kind of wisdom and counsel. In the book of Isaiah chapter 2 and verses 2 to 4, it talks about in the last days, you know, the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established upon the top of the mountains. Hallelujah. And exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow into it. Well, people, you know, they're going to come. The church is supposed to be a lighthouse. Come ye, they will say, you know, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. I want to come to your God so that he may teach us his ways and so forth. And then you will be the one teaching the people. Hallelujah. You know, teach the people. We're supposed to be, Matthew chapter 5 verse 14 says, to be that light of the world. Well, when you give light in darkness, when there's a situation that is dark and you shine light upon it, when you understand dark sentences and you can put them in order, then that's counsel. You know, that's counsel that you are drawing out there. So counsel can be so powerful like that. Let me go on quickly. I'm looking up and looking at my time here. I got to move quickly through this. Now, when you have this kind of counsel in your heart, you will be called sought out, just like they were seeking out Solomon from everywhere. You know, Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 12 calls that you will be called sought out. You have this ability, when you have this ability of great counsel, you'll be called sought out. Isaiah 62 and verse 12. Now, here are four things. Practical things that you need to do, you know, in understanding how to develop counsel. It's the gift of God that's inside of you. It's a talent and it's a gifting. It's inside you deep down, but you must draw it out. But we'll talk about how you use it to even, let's say you want to even give counsel to others. How do you do it? Well, listen to this. I've already told you about how Daniel improved his interpretation scripts. Well, number one, you need to develop your advisory and problem-solving skills. You do that through knowledge. We covered that the other day. So that you can improve your ability to give good counsel. That's right. Good counsel. Show that you understand strategic solutions. Hallelujah. You develop that through knowledge in the business marketplace. You know, people, those are the people that get promoted and they have counsel for good strategy for even the future. Now, when Daniel was praying at the beginning, he began later on to be able to respond quickly because he had developed and he could give counsel, he could give good counsel. You know, so that we already read that in the story of Daniel. Number two. You need to learn the skill of effective communication. Effective communication is needed, you know, even for you to be able to effectively communicate good advice. Now, this is when you're giving advice to somebody else. I'm going to come to counsel for yourself in a minute. In the book of Psalm 45 and verse 1, let's see how the psalmist himself put it here. And don't forget that this, the things I'm about to tell you now, I'm covering two aspects. I'm covering the aspect of counsel that you give to somebody else and I'm going to cover the aspect of counsel that you have for yourself to direct your affairs. My heart is indicting a good matter. Psalm 45 verse 1. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. This is a communicator. A communicator, in order for you to be able to even communicate a good counsel, you have to study the skills. If you don't know how to communicate, even though you have the right advice, but you don't know how to communicate it, it will not come out well. Let me give you an example. In the story of David's case with Bathsheba and Uriah, Nathan was actually one of David's counselors before. He was a seer, prophet, advisor, whatever. But, you know, when he had to go challenge David for the thing that he had done, he had to craft a story. He needed to be able to be a good communicator, an effective communicator. And so you can't even, I mean, you have to study the skills of communication. So Nathan came and told the story of a man that had a lot of sheep and so forth, and somebody else that had a little one, and how this man went and took the only one that the guy had in order to make a feast for his friend, and so on and so forth. You know the story. And at the end, David's wrath was kindled, and Nathan said, well, you are the man. I mean, he used effective skills to communicate that, you know, and so on. And if, when you, you know, for you to be even to able to give counsel, you have to develop your gift of communication. Colossians chapter, this is 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 to 12. You can read the story there, but I'm not going to read it. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, you know, we have to let our words be with grace and seasoned with salt, that we may know how, you know, to give and speak to somebody. Hallelujah. You know, now that's counsel. Counsel, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 2 said, let my speech drop as dew, honeydew from heaven. Isaiah 50 and verse 4. Now you can see I'm moving a little fast. Let me slow down. Slow down, he said. All right. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 2. And Isaiah 50, you know, and verse 4. And Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. They are all communicating the same thing to us. You know, our tongue, which is what you're going to use to give advice, must be the like the tongue of the learned. Well, that's also knowledge behind that. That I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. That's Isaiah 50 and verse 4. So all of these things work together. Learning to improve your skills of communication, even for you to be able to give advice. Number three, surround yourself with people that can give you good counsel. Hallelujah. Now listen to, I'm going to tell some important things in this area. This will be the secret to success in many areas of your life. Now, this was the secret to David's success. He surrounded himself with great counselors like Ahithophel. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23. We read that already. Without counselors around you, you might end up with some disappointments, some failures, great errors, and so forth. And your plans and purposes, you know, might... So, you know, God forbid that they might be aborted if you don't have great counsel. You know, let's look at Proverbs, excuse me, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22. Proverbs 15 and 22 says that without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So that means, you know, surround yourself with good counsel. Now, at the beginning of the year, at the beginning of each year, you know, people make a lot of plans. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Some people call it resolution. Some people call it whatever. But if you don't have good counsel, those purposes might be disappointed. That's what this verse is saying. Every purpose is established by counsel. That's in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 18. So if you do not use good counsel, the purpose may not be established. On the other hand, it might be disappointed. Counsel is very important, you know, giving understanding of what, how to critically analyze the situation and make the right decisions. Number four, you need to pray that God will give you this spirit of counsel so that you exercise yourself in counsel for your own affairs. This is what we read about counsel being in your heart, and you have to draw it out by understanding. Also, that you may become an encourager, someone whose speech is seasoned with grace. I mean, look at how Proverbs 27 verse 9 even compares counsel. Compares counsel to ointment, perfume, and all of that. I mean, you know, sometimes people put ointment, they put perfume, and so forth. They, well, you know, these things rejoice the heart of a man. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Hearty counsel is so important. And in all these things, what then does counsel really mean? Well, counsel, you know, like many, well, not many, but some of these other pillars, they look alike in some ways. It looks like prudence in some ways. It looks like sound judgment in some ways. We haven't talked about sound judgment yet. It looks like understanding. We haven't talked about that yet. But, you know, they all seem to kind of look alike sometimes. But it is, you know, the ability to critically analyze the situation and come up with solution or advice or direction concerning the matter and so on and so forth, even as we talked at the beginning. So it is important in our own lives as well. The counsel of the Lord is so important. God dropped it into our spirit through the inspiration of the Almighty, but you got to draw it out. Now let me go quickly through some benefits of counsel. I'm looking at the top of the hour already. Some benefits of the counsel. Well, the counsel of the Lord shall always stand. That's Proverbs 19 and verse 21. The enemy cannot frustrate God's counsel for your life. He can try. You know, they are called would-be destiny destroyers, but God will disannul their intent. Proverbs 19:21 said, the counsel of the Lord shall always stand. Now, the multitude of counselors will give protection and safety. You talk about that in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. The absence of this, in some cases, can even lead to national collapse. I mean, we've seen that in some countries where there is no good counselors or those that don't have the heart of the Lord, it brings national collapse. You know, unfortunately, I've seen that in the country where I came from before I came to these United States. Now, that's Proverbs 11:14. Give me protection and safety, which if you don't have, can be very disastrous. And it leads to disaster in many cases. He said, without counsel, the people fall. That people, so he's talking about nationally, the people will fall when there is no counsel. And there's no good counsel. Now, listen to this. When you have good counsel, people will even call you wise. Because, you know, counsel and wise are the same. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, and also Proverbs 19 and 20. Let me read that quickly. Proverbs 12 and 15. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. So counsel is associated with wisdom there. Let's look at 19 and 20. Proverbs 19 and verse 20. We read this earlier. Hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise. You know, so when you're operating counsel, it's also considered wisdom. That counsel may be something that's within you. That counsel may be something that you hear from others. You know, that others give you counsel. Like Moses heard the counsel from Jethro, his father-in-law. Hallelujah. Make your plans and purposes to succeed through counsel. That's very important. That's in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22. If you make plans and you don't have counsel, we read that already, they might be disappointed. So make your plans and your, you know, whatever you have laid out for yourself, your purposes, make those plans so that they can succeed through good counsel. Counsel will even give you victory for your battles. Now, you got to know how you pick your battles. I'm going to talk about that in just a quick minute. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 6. You have to make your wars through good counsel. He said, for by wise counsel thou shalt make your war. We're not talking about physical war now. It could be physical war also. You know, even in physical war, in the military and so forth, you know, there has to be counsel. There has to be intelligence. They call it intelligence, counterintelligence and different things like that. Gather those for many years, months and things like that. Studying the plan of the enemy and studying their moves and understanding them. And then you have strategic planners. Say, here's how we're going to move. Here's how we're going to do. We're going to put over here. We're going to be over here. This is the land. This is the lay of the land and all of that. You know, so by wise counsel, you make your war. Same thing with a spiritual war, you know, and then you must pick your battles. It's very important. Wise counsel is needed for us to pick our battles. There are some things you need to fight for. Some other things you need to let go. You don't have to fight for everything, you know, but people don't understand that. You know, you don't have to fight about everything, actually, I want to say, you know. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 18. You know, good advice, make war. With good advice, make war. So another aspect of looking at that is that you pick your battles. Pick your battles. We already read about hearty counsel, how it makes the heart of a man to rejoice. People will seek after you when you have great counsel. Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 10, we read that already, verses 23 to 25. Here's what we're going to do. Great counsel also will take you to greater heights. We saw that in the story of Genesis 41. Story of Joseph in Genesis 41. We read that already. So that was just a summary of all the benefits of counsel. The prayer we're going to pray today is, Lord, give me this pillar of wisdom and counsel in my life. Endow me with the spirit. No, Jesus himself, I'm reminded that in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1-3, Jesus himself was endowed with the spirit of counsel. Hallelujah. He said, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom, spirit of understanding, spirit of counsel, you know, so, you know, and all that. So we also of counsel. And if you know how to do right, it can actually help you not only to keep your job, but also to get promotion, especially into higher levels of management. You know, those people that get there is because they have good counsel and that they seek them out. You know, sometimes the people that are, the company where I work, close to 100,000 people, you know, when they change leadership, They seek out new leaders. Those people don't apply. When they are very senior positions, they don't apply here and there. People seek them out because they've heard about, they've seen the things they've done in their companies and so forth. They seek them out. You know, we just had some very top leadership change at my company. The chief technology, actually chief information officer, was just recently replaced. The person that, you know, they brought into for the replacement had even retired. They sought him out because of what they had heard that he had done in other places. They sought him out. He wasn't applying for the job. They sought him out. You know, this is what, because he had tremendous track record of counsel, strategic planning, and things that he did in the other company. And he had retired, you know, just flying his personal plane, enjoying himself around, just doing all these things and so forth. And they brought him in and started to tell us his stories. I said, wow. They didn't even, he wasn't even applying for the job. And so they seek you out when you have, you know, this ability to give and guide, you know. And if you are going to lead a multi-billion dollar company, you know, close to even $1 trillion, you better know your onions, as they say. You better have some great counsel. But at that level, people don't apply. They seek them out, you know. And they, when they seek them out, like they were seeking Solomon out, that is an indication of great counsel. I'm going to pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray we have listened to this lesson. And I pray that the Lord will interpret it into our minds and our hearts. I pray also that we will have the spirit of counsel, just like the Christ, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And all these things, which are these same pillars of wisdom that we have been talking about, was also in the Christ. May we have the same in our lives today. As we've talked today about counsel, may the Lord help you to draw out. He said, Bible says that the counsel in the heart of a man is like deep wells, and a man of understanding will draw it out. Man or woman of understanding, you've got to draw it out. It's there already, but buried sometimes. It's kind of like precious stones that are buried. We covered that when we did knowledge, how God by knowledge buried all those precious stones deep down in the earth. And you take knowledge for you to figure out how to get them as well. So God has put these counsels in our hearts, and we got to draw them out. Not only to be good counselors to others, that's important. So especially if you're a parent, how to guide your children aright, especially in this crooked and perverse world. But also for your own life, you know, the inspiration of the Almighty guiding us daily. Father, we thank you. Give understanding to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give us this verse out of Job 32 and 8. Some people are close to me. They know I love this verse. And if you don't remember anything else out of today, I want you to remember this verse. I'm going to give you a couple of personal testimonies, and then I'll open up the room. This verse in Job chapter 32 and verse 8 has literally transformed my life so many times. I call it the inspiration of the Almighty. There are situations that, you know, I couldn't just figure out. But I reached down deep for this inspiration of the Almighty, and it was amazing. Results were amazing. I've even used it to help others, and the results are always amazing. You know, it's part of counsel, but it comes from the Lord. It's something that you can't even explain. All of a sudden, God just give you understanding beyond anything. I'm going to give you a couple of testimonies. But before I give my own testimonies, you know, I'll even give a testimony of somebody else. We have this fellowship line that we do at our church. We converted it to a phone line now since COVID. And so one day a sister came, and she was having problems in technology. She was in technology like myself. They were doing a new release and everything was upside down. And I said to her, I just gave her this scripture. I said, by the inspiration of the Almighty, this thing will be solved if you can understand it. Even though it's like nobody can figure it out. I said, this will be solved. Told her just a few things. Well, next day or so, sent me a text message that the way the thing was solved, nobody knows. And then she realized that it was the inspiration of the Almighty. I said, yeah, that's the way it works. Now, I summarized that story just quickly, but let me tell you some of my own stories. Just to know that this inspiration of the Almighty is incredible. And I was going through my master's program some years ago. I was already a technologist for many years, but you know, I wanted to get that master's program. More importantly, to show my kids that you don't need to stop at the low level degrees. You need to go higher. So I went in for my master's. I was a lot older then. By the time I got the master's degree, I was actually already 50. You know, I started when I was about 48 or so. So anyway, I was in some classes where I could not figure anything out. I mean, it was like my brain was dead. I'm like, I used to be very sharp. You know, in fact, that's another thing too. If you don't keep that brain working, after a while it gets dull. When I was a young man, I had a nickname. In my school, they called me Photo because I had almost a photographic memory. All I had to do was go to the class. Once I was there and the teacher was explaining, that's it. Done. End of story. I understood it. If I wasn't there, of course, I didn't understand it. But once I explained it, I knew it. You know, and I could explain to others. Well, fast forward many years later, got away from school for a long time. You know, the only thing that I remember then was scriptures. Got away from school for a long time. Went and took these very difficult computer classes. I mean, it was like Greek. I was like telling my wife, how did I get myself into this thing? I mean, nobody put a gun to my head to go and do this. You know, but so one day I started to pray about it. And I told a friend of mine, close friend of mine, I said, look, I said, hey, how's school going? I said, well, shit. Stop. You know, I don't know. You know, I should have done this thing when I was much younger. But there were over 20 something years that passed that I hadn't gone to school. But I returned to it. So it was hard. And he just dropped this scripture. He said, well, it'll happen by the inspiration of the Almighty. He didn't quote the verse. He just said that part of it. And then I knew that, oh, I know this verse. So I went and looked it up. Then I read the whole verse. I said, okay, cool. So one day we're sitting in the class and I wasn't doing well I was doing better in the practicals. You know, for those of you who knew technology, I was in a class where we actually had to build a compiler. You know, it's the heart of computers. And, I was good on the practical side. I wasn't doing well in the physical exams for some reasons. I was nervous and everything. And we had all these midterms and so many things and the project. So one day I was just in the class and I was like, look, I don't think I'm going to do well in this. I don't know if I'll do well in these exams, but I know I'll do great in the practical side. So I raised my hand in the class. And it was the inspiration of them. I didn't think about it until that moment. But the man was, laying out, you know, the class and everything and the schedule of class, I mean, exams and so forth. And I raised my hand. I was sitting in the back. And I said, can you just cancel some of these remaining midterms? We had taken one midterm then, and I didn't fare too well. I said, can you cancel some of these remaining midterms and add the percentage to the practicals so that, because we're spending a lot of time in the labs. And everybody turned backwards when I said that thing. They wanted to see who was speaking. But you don't do that. This curriculum is already set by the university. You don't change that. You don't do anything like that. And the man looked at me for a few seconds. He said, all right. He said, all right. And then we walked out of the class. I became the most popular person there. Everybody came around to me and said, how do you do that? I said, by the inspiration of the Almighty. Glory to God. You know, and I aced that class. My goodness. Based on, you know, the score that I had scored in the first midterm, I would not have gotten an A in that class. But by the inspiration of the Almighty coming to me like that, I aced that class at the end. Quickly, another one. Same computer, another class. They gave us a project. I couldn't figure it out. It was way over my head. You know, some things that they were telling us to do. They gave us this book, big book. Said the answers are in there somewhere. I said, well, they gave us partners to figure out this project. And the instructor said, well, if you, if you go solo, you get more points. But he said, don't go solo because you need a partner. So one day I went and prayed. I said, Lord, I can't read this book. It's too big. I don't know what to do. And then I said, but by the inspiration of the Almighty. And I stirred myself up. And then the Lord said, yeah, inspiration of the Almighty. And the next thing I know, I'm opening this book. True story, folks. I'm not telling anybody not to read and study, but it's a true story. As I open the book, I'm just going straight to all the places where all the deep knowledge of the things that he has told us that we need is, and I'm finding it by the inspiration of the Almighty. I didn't know where they were. I hadn't read the book. And I'm finding it, and I'm finding it, I'm finding it. And then a light bulb goes off in my head, and I'm thinking, wow, this is great. So I called my partner. I said, I'm going to go solo. He said, oh, why? I said, don't worry about it. I'm going to go solo. I called the instructor. I sent an audio instructor. I'm going solo. Because now I have incredible inspiration. And I know I'm going to get double the points if I go solo. I aced that project, guys. Something I didn't even know at the beginning. I can go on and on and on. But I don't want to make this all about myself. But let me give room to others. But I did want to let you know, this inspiration of the Almighty, I want you to memorize this verse. It will do incredible things for you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap.